hard to believe that we've got celebrities stripping for Hillary. Where is that? You know, it seems like we've lost our dignity. We've lost our way. We've lost a lot. On the other hand, we have more people taking up the mantle, spreading the word, and paying attention to what the Bible has said. So the divide is widening, folks. We need to be prepared. We really do. We're so blessed to have Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. And while you're there looking at his newly revised website there, of course, it's been a while, but it's really sharp. Check out Revelation 13 Revealed. And Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. True Legends, the series. Boy, oh boy, that's causing a lot of talk, you know, among the people. And it gives you a good insight into where we're at today, why we're at where we're at today. Steve, I'm going to kick it over to you, sir. Take it away.
Well, I want, David touched on something, and I want everybody to understand this. When God shows you something in the future, the hardest thing for people to really realize is the point that David's made, that I think that has to be made, and only the Holy Spirit can bring people. Now, I know people use the term Holy Spirit, kind of they throw it around like a magical force. I'm talking about the third person of the Godhead, the literal Spirit of God that brooded over the water when God said, "Let there be light." I'm talking about a personality. I'm talking about he who can be blessed or he can be grieved. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to address the Katy Perry Madonna thing, okay? I would only say this. Look at the Spirit. Now, obviously, most people know that Katy Perry is a openly professing Satanist. Obviously, everybody knows that Madonna is a Kabbalist, which is Jewish mysticism with everything else she's throwing in. The fact that they're taking off their clothes, can I say something? There is the literal fulfillment of the word, they stand naked before God. It doesn't matter if you put, you know, the most expensive suit or the most expensive, I guess for ladies they call them outfits or whatever, you know, dresses on. The point being is that underneath they are exactly that. Why would they dress that way for Hillary? I won't give you the answer, but it's so blatantly obvious. It's so blatantly obvious when Hillary's eyes couldn't leave Christina Aguilera's upper torso. How's that for being trying to be tactful? The point being, ladies and gentlemen, is the American family has come under attack in such ways, and I've heard this even, David, from some older Christians, that, well, I won't have to face it. My kids, I pray for the world that my kids are entering into. I say, don't pray for it. Stand up and be accounted and change it so you can do one or if you can do one thing or 100 things. But just don't take that attitude. That attitude drives me crazy. But David and Doug, the thing is that we've got to get through people's, I guess you'd say, spirit. We have to get to their spirit, but we've got to get through all of the cultural garbage. Number one, I'm going to throw this out and I'll ask you both. What percentage of Christendom, professing Christendom, even believes that God is just to judge this land? David? Percentage?
I'd say probably 10% or less.
Okay. Doug?
That sounds about right. I'll go with that.
Okay, and I'm sorry, you guys, but I'm going to say 1%, okay? Because the thing is that there is no, how should I say this? There is no conviction coming outside of an individual basis, and obviously we pray that the anointing of God is upon us to basically allow the Word of God to go and fulfill it. But look, here's the thing. We're watching right now a nation under judgment, and I believe that, you know, Donald Trump is God's prosecuting attorney. Now, will God give us some space? Pastor Langford, you and I have talked about this so many times that God's people are not prepared for what's coming. Neither am I. Okay? And when I say prepared, I'm talking about not just the physical preparation, but to really embrace in the power of the Holy Ghost, the onslaught of the power of hell. That's what I mean by not ready. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. I'm going to turn it over to you, David, because this is an important passage. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You touched a little bit upon this, David, last time we were on the air. It is right to discern. Discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told that he that is spiritual judges. That word doesn't mean sentence. It means discern. Discernment means to determine the spirit behind an action, a word, or a thought. So when God said he looked down on the earth and behold, all their thoughts were evil, was it tough for God to basically tell us in his word that where the evil thought is, the action will follow? Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people with bumper stickers on their car quoting Charlton Heston, I'll surrender my gun when they try my cold dead finger off it or whatever. But you don't understand what's coming against you. In the natural, you don't understand, but God can reveal it. That's why God is giving dreams. The United Nations troops here in the United States now are in the hundreds of thousands. All of the clucks that have clucked away over all the years, where would they hide that many troops? You're totally unaware of all the underground military bases, the deep underground military bases that are connected by high-speed levitation tunnels that have been in place since the late 50s, or even the fact that the Cold War bases that George Bush Sr. turned over, closed down. That was turned over to NATO/United Nations. So let me share this. People want to have, I hear it all the time, I'm sure you do too, Pastor, well, can't we just come into unity and kind of love each other? No. What fellowship has light with darkness? Can't we just reach out to the community this or the community that, and show them the love of Jesus? You show them the love of Jesus by sharing Jesus, not by saying, you just live with your sin and you're okay because we don't want to condemn you. Since when did the words friendship with the world is enmity with God lose its power? Oh, I have an answer for that. When the church lost its ability to embrace the power of God or even to reflect on how they got their name as Christians. I've told this story. I want to tell it one more time. A man who used to be my friend, used to be, for 20 years, we got into an argument in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You've been there with me, David. In a restaurant, my wife said, I do not choose the points of let's say, serious conversation correctly. I said, I didn't start it. He did. But we were talking about our brethren, Christian, okay? Kenneth Hagin, graduate. Christian, who said, well, there have always been martyrs, kind of brushed it off. At that point, I said, you're totally disengaged from reality, and needless to say, it went downhill from there. Now, why will I share that? Because it is illustrative of the point that I'm trying to make tonight. We have sat smugly, silently in Christendom, And I had a guy, no, I won't go there. We have sat silently and done nothing. You know, I remember when Randall Terry was with, what, Operation Rescue or Operation Blessing? I forget which one it was. Maybe Operation Rescue.
Right.
I remember how many times we did interviews and tried to get people to rise up. I remember Mike McQuitty, one of his last statements on my TV radio show before he and his wife both died in a car wreck, is God said, I'm holding out my hand of forgiveness. If you will not receive and repent my hand of mercy and forgiveness, then your land will undergo an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Mike said, Steve, I saw over 70 million people being slaughtered. I don't know the circumstances. You remember that broadcast, David?
Yeah.
So here's where we're at. They who are spiritual discern all things. We don't have enough time, but here's the thing. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you must, I must, we must all get to the point where Jesus was saying, Lord, we're tired of having the brethren slaughtered. We stand against the plans they have to destroy us. Because tonight, David, everybody who's hearing this program, you and I, are put in the place of Queen Esther. And they must go before the King, King Jesus, who's already held out his scepter and intercede for our brother, our sisters, our friends, our relatives, and our children. Because the slaughter that's planned, look, these are crazy, I can't use that word, these are crazy people. And they're already on record. All of the ones who are in the highest positions of authority in the land are already on record in the 70s as being trained under Saul Alinsky, both Hillary Clinton, Obama, Jeremiah Wright, who hates white Christians. And now the race war is in force. And so the thing is that the only thing that will stand this down, in my opinion, individually, even community-wise, but not for the nation, is the time that God gives us to come to our senses before the hammer falls. Go ahead, David.
You know, this is why we're all at a place of decision. It's like a moment of decision. I want to share from 1 Samuel 11. I'm going to read about five or six verses there, but 1 Samuel chapter 11, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, oh, this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. Nahash the Ammonite. Nahash, his name literally means serpent. And so the Ammonite, Nahash, came and camped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant. Let's come to an agreement here, and we will serve thee. Satan always seeks some kind of a compromise, because whatever you compromise to gain, in the end, you ultimately lose it. Nahash, as I said, his name means serpent, a type of the devil, answered them and said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. Now, Satan, without doubt, God said in Genesis 3:1, and the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. His beauty, his wisdom, Ezekiel said, corrupted him. Ezekiel 28:17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. God did not refute Lucifer's wisdom and how great it was. He said, but it has now become corrupted. James 3 talks about wisdom, the good kind of wisdom, and he talks about the bad kind of wisdom. And the bad kind of wisdom is what we're witnessing in the earth right now. James 13:3, who is a wise man and a dupe of knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation or lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Are we not witnessing that in America right now? But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God's wisdom is pure, it's peaceable, it is gentle, it's easy to be entreated or to be embraced, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Nahash represents the devil. His wisdom is corrupted. And so he says to Israel, okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll go in covenant with you, but you've got to thrust out your right eyes. Why? Well, see, his wisdom was corrupted. His wisdom was devilish because there was a reason for that. If I remember correctly, all left-handed men came from the tribe of Benjamin alone in the nation of Israel. Most people are right-handed. So I want you to visualize in your eyes' mind an Israeli soldier with a piece of leather on a shield. He takes his left arm, he slides it through that shield. Maybe it has a cast-made handle, and he grips that handle like a car handle or door handle, and he holds that shield up on his left arm in battle. Then he wields his sword with his right hand. So Nahash wants them to put out their right eye. Why? For them to fight and to fight effectively, now they've got to let down their shield and look out with their left eye, and guess what? Now they have no protection, and they're vulnerable. And so Satan is trying to get us to compromise and to come in some type of covenant. And people, as Steve Wells said, just lay aside your differences. Let's just all put this stuff to the side and let's just come together and forget all of this stuff. You know, if you're a sodomite, that's okay. You're queer, that's okay. You're a lesbian, that's okay. You know, you're an adulterer, that's okay. Well, we can't do that because that's how we become corrupted. And so he knew what he was doing when he wanted them to forfeit their right eyes. They could not see with that right eye being bored out, so they would have to let down their shield with their left arm to see, to fight, and wield their sword with their right hand. And then, of course, they were totally vulnerable. And so the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings. And, of course, it says he slew or hewn into pieces, you know, two oxen and sent them out through the country of Israel, said, this is what's going to happen to you, your oxen, if you don't come forth to battle. You know, we are challenged tonight to step up. no man, no one man is the answer to this nation. We must be a godly nation. Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach or shame unto any people. It's a shame, this nation. These Katy Perry, Madonna, if you question their spirit, you have to understand they're demon-possessed. The man at the gatherings took his clothes off and he cut himself. But when Jesus got through with him, he was clothed and in his right mind. This is the final state of psychosis in mental institutions. People start running around naked, taking their clothes off. You see, if you don't have spiritual eyes, this is what Nahash was saying in the natural. Let me bore out your eyes so you can't see the fight. Satan wants to blind you so that you cannot understand or see how to fight correctly. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Spiritual blindness is the worst blindness of all. As I said earlier in the program, isn't it amazing that you and I, Steve, Doug, we look at the world and we say, how can these people be this far to the left? How can they see good? How can they see prosperity? How can they see blessing? How can they see justice in all of this? And they can't. And we're sitting there like, how can you be this blind, ignorant, stupid, whatever you want to call it? It's because the God of this world hath blinded their minds. And this is why it's Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Every one of us are in the hands of God. And I want to have the godly fear towards my Lord, and fear will keep you from doing certain things, even in the natural. If you have a fear of heights, you won't go up that elevator, or you won't go up those stairs, or you won't go up in that helicopter. Well, if you've got a genuine fear of God about sin and iniquity, you just won't do it. You know, I've talked to people and asked them a flat-out question so they would tell me the truth and just flat-out lie to me. I'd ask them a question to see whether they would tell the truth and just tell me a bald-faced lie. How do you do that? You do that because something is wrong with your mind, and it's called your conscience. And as we witness evil and sin and wickedness, people's conscience, Paul said, we become seared as with a hot iron. The problem with a hot iron, and they did that in the old days when there was injuries and the gangrene, pus, the mess, they would sear that injury with a hot iron, and it would burn out the ruin, the rot, the putrid mess. But the problem was, it killed the nerve endings, and there was no longer a sensation, a feeling there. That's what happens when the devil sticks a hot poker in your mind, in your conscience. Your conscience becomes seared, and the sensitivity of what's right, the sensitivity of what's wrong. I don't need nobody to tell me when I told a lie. I don't have any need for somebody to say, you just told, I know I told a lie if I told a lie. I've got a good conscience. I know better than to take my clothes off and walk around naked. Why? I've got a conscience. You can see how unconscionable these people are. Why? Because they are totally given over to Satan. And they are what the Bible terms as a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Why do they get a reprobate mind? They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Take God out of the school. Take God out of everything. Just obliterate God. Take him out. Why? They don't want to retain God in their knowledge because God's knowledge of God brings conviction. And that's where we are, folks. We better not make a covenant or be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because it will get us in the end. You got to keep your heart pure, and you got to keep your hands clean. Doug, I'm going to give it back to you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And you know, it just in line with that, I just want to give my two cents here. I just see
Give us a quarter, brother.
Yeah. You know, as I look over the landscape and talk with people, and I'm sure Steve is in the same position, you know, we talk with a lot of people on a daily basis, and I just see a lot of people really choosing sides. And the side for iniquity and the anti-God side, I'll just call it that way, that side, is becoming more obtuse every single day. That's just my observations.
No, it's true.
It's even more than that. As I mentioned before, the divide is becoming greater, but there is this, it seems this lack of restraint, this unrestraining, and people are really, man, I see a civil war coming. I really do. I just got an email from someone who said that anyone who votes for Trump and who claims to be a Christian is ridiculous. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the alternative? You know, but Steve, go ahead.
Well, I want to answer that because the same person sent me the same, ignorant burrow response. How's that for being a little bit more tactful?
There you go.
Ignorant burrow, okay? First of all, these people can't see the fight that's going on. They can't understand that the person running for president, who happens to be a, a female, question mark. I believe that so many of these people you see that you think are human are not. I think they're, by the way, fallen angels can take on the form of women. The point being is that I think what that person indicates is a gross misunderstanding of how late it is in the hour. But I would also bet she, if it is a she, or he, if it's the same one, is it a she, Doug?
Well, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought. My bad. We're up against the break. Stay right where you're at. We'll pick this up.
Take that up after the break.
Will do. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment, the Hagman and Hagman Report. So pleased to have Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com, and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Brothers in arms, brothers in Christ, brothers for sure. The wisdom that they're imparting is just beyond belief. Before we get back to them, I just want to say thank you so much to Alan Riggs, who appeared last night. Greenovative.com. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. It's a small company in Florida. They created the GMAG power cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to the unit. My goodness, what a great device. And I'll tell you something. I've never seen anything like it. The response from our audience is great, so keep it going. That's Greenovative, the GMAG, Super GMAG charger. You got batteries? You need recharged? My batteries need recharged. All you need is salt water. That's Greenovative. Off of HagmanReport.com. But Steve, we were talking right before the break about Donald Trump and about this accusation that a Christian votes for Trump. Boy, oh my goodness, that's horrible, you know.
Well, and usually that's by, and I want to say this to that person, doesn't matter, and every person, this isn't a political statement that we are making. This is a statement defining the war. And if someone says that, then I assume, okay, my first question is, did you vote for Obama? And for the record, I was not a George Bush fan, one or two. So the point that I'm trying to make tonight, really simply, is this. A statement like that indicates gross ignorance. It indicates no spirituality. I had a lady once who sent me an email. I don't know if it's the same one, Doug, but she said, I have lost all my respect for you because you stand for Donald Trump. Yes, I stand with him when he's right. I don't put any caveats. I 100% support him. Why do you think, I better go softer, why do you think, sir or madam, that they took Michael Savage off the air, WABC, one of the biggest, if not the biggest radio stations in the world yesterday, when he was talking about Hillary's health issues? You choose, ma'am or sir, to believe a lie. And I don't care, look, Balaam, the prophet, even a dumbass, meaning a burro that was considered dumb, God gave that donkey the ability to speak. Well, too many donkeys speak nowadays, Pastor David and Doug, with no prompting from the living God. So there's a difference when God tells someone through supernatural means you're wrong. Here's the point. I want to go on record, Doug, so that people have a really clear understanding. I will not change my position. God said before he allowed Russia and China to destroy the United States in a nuclear war, there would be a revealing of the leader's sins to the people. Next, I said, and the people's sins before their God. People, I believe that whether you consider the United States a daughter of Babylon or mystery Babylon, that we are becoming a habitation of devils. Satanic temples going up all over the country. Open, flagrant mocking of every single barrier, every single boundary that the living God created and put into it for our safety and security. Now we drink water with so many pharmaceuticals, I'm surprised we don't look like something out of a horror movie, except by the grace of God. We eat food that's dead and dying, plastic polluted, and disgusting. I'm surprised again, except for the grace of God, we're not all dead yet. We have chemtrails, skies, and people still. I talk to people, Doug, that still don't believe that chemtrails exist. I can give them U.S. patents, 4686605, the Easton patent, go forward, HARP, blah, blah, blah. And Dane Wigington, you've had him on the show. I've interviewed him before. The bottom line is he lays it all out for you, but people don't believe. That's the problem, sir or ma'am, with your issue. You're looking at a man. You do not see the context of this country's destruction. You do not see the righteous judge of the whole earth laying it out before you. And if you, can I say something, Doug? I basically, now I'm on a roll, I basically started in the preparedness business almost 35, 40 years ago, whatever it was, okay? Very early in my career. I'm 65. I've been doing this stuff for two-thirds of my life, at least. And the thing that's amazing to me is that we're now watching posturing where everybody is getting ready to gang up on America and take it down. So the very, and it's already taken down from within. Imagine this, ladies and gentlemen, your representatives, your senators, and your elected officials are selling us out, have sold us out. You don't own anything. The money in the bank is collateralized with pledges to unseen and obscene bankers worldwide. You've got foreign governments that have been given the right to come in and perfect their UCC liens. And by the way, Pastor Langford, now I'll turn it right over to you, David. Pastor Langford made the statement that God gave him two words a couple years ago. The first was what? Bondage, and the second was captivity?
Right.
Go ahead, David.
I want to close with my portion tonight from what you just alluded to, because I got a little revelation last week preaching on the radio about this matter of the jackass. Numbers 22, beginning at verse 21. Numbers 22, beginning at verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the prince of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angels of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. I preached a message years ago. God will spare a donkey and slay the wicked. The other day while I was sharing this, I was caught up in the thought that here is Balaam having a literal verbal conversation with a jackass. I want you to picture this now. Here is an adult man, and because the jackass has the ability to see this angel, she finally crushes Balaam's foot against the sides of the mountain passage, the rockway there. And he is so livid, he takes a stick and just begins to beat her. And then finally, when she sees there's just nowhere to go, she just falls down. I mean, she just falls completely down, and of course submits herself to the authority of the angelic cherub that was standing there, going to kill her and Balaam, but she had enough sense to stop. And here's this dialogue going on between a man and a jackass. And as I was sharing this, I made the statement, I don't understand how a man, I don't care who he is, how a man could sit there and talk to a jackass and carry on a literal verbal conversation and be so mean, so mad, so hateful. He said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. I'm thinking, you know, if I'm out there in the pasture and my bull's giving me a hard time and he starts talking to me, man, I am going to be freaked out. I'm sure not going to want to kill him. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And as I was expounding on this, I said, I don't understand how someone could do such a thing. And the Spirit quickened my heart to what Peter said in 2 Peter 2:16. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And the Lord gave me the answer. The man had become a madman. You have to be, that word mad there, or madness, is insanity or foolhardiness. That was the condition of Balaam. The emails you guys are getting shows you the madness, the insanity of these people. Because just like Balaam, he could not see the mystery for his carnality, but a jackass could see it. I want you to understand what I just said. Balaam was supposed to be a prophet of God. Forbade the madness of the prophet. You people, that right there discourages me to think you are a professing Christian and you make that kind of a statement. That discourages me because it shows me you still don't get it. You still cannot see the mystique. You cannot behold the mystery of God because of your insanity and your spiritual madness. And if a jackass was talking to you, you would not only argue with it, you would kill it. And you would say, I know I'm doing the right thing in killing this talking jackass. I just said a few minutes ago and quoted Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now you say, oh man, if a jackass started talking to me, I would not kill it. You wouldn't? Jesus said you would. Jesus said in John 16, 1 and 2, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. There will be people who believe they are Christians and going to kill the true Christians and say, I just did God's service. You know why they're going to do it? They're insane. They are insane. They are mad. They cannot witness. They cannot see the mystery, the deep things of God. I'm amazed tonight that we have given a plethora of scriptures, and there are those who still walk in blindness. I gave you 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You can't see. You just can't see, can you? Balaam couldn't see, but the jackass could. And God said, I would have killed you, Balaam, and saved that donkey. Folks, if that's not carnally minded, somebody explain to me carnality. Romans 8:5, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be so. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you suppose Balaam was in the flesh? The jackass had more spirit about her than Balaam did, and he was the prophet. He was the purported man of God. And when I was teaching this, I believe it was last week or week before last, I was trying to convey, I could not understand how a man could do that, but the Spirit quickened my heart and said he was a madman. He forbade the madness of the prophet. And so that is one of the curses in Deuteronomy 28. That is one of the curses in Deuteronomy 28, is that there be a spirit of madness. Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness. And the word madness there in the Hebrew means the same thing, insanity, foolhardiness, or craziness. God said, I will smite you with insanity, craziness, madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. You'll be stupefied through your foolishness. And this is where we are. It's like tonight, and I'm going to give it back to you, Steve. I just said, how is it we look at what we witness today, and we look at it, and we say, how can these people be this far off? The black politician, well, not, she's not a politician. She's one of Hillary's helpmates. Chima, I think that's her name. Anyway, I heard her today. She said, it's time we have a woman president. The Constitution demands it. And I thought, whoa, show you how blind you are. How many women signed the Constitution? None. How many women apostles were there? None. But you see, that's the spirit of the age. This book I'm writing on right now, Jim Baker asked me to write a book, and I'm writing it. The harlot church in Revelation 17 is feminized. She is called the mother of harlots. The church, the body of Christ, is called a he. You're witnessing the feminization of today's church, and that's why he rebuked the church at Thyatira. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. This is where we are. This is where we are. And so the church is a man because it is the body of Christ. It's not a woman. It's not the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And as I was been studying for the last several weeks, I said, my God, the devil's going to substitute the true church, the body of Christ, with a feminized harlot church. So he says, come out of her, my people. I'm not being ugly here. Anatomically, men go into women. Women never enter into men. Men enter into women. The church is his body. He says, now come out of her because it's masculine. Get out of her. And see, we witness it tonight. They don't get it. They have eyes to see, they see not, ears to hear, and they hear not. This people's heart is waxed gross, lest they should be converted, and I should heal them. Matthew 13:15. They just can't get it. You know, I think we did a program. Maybe I did it by myself. I don't know. Some time ago, there'll be those who just don't get it. They just don't get it. I would be so afraid to not get it and understand it here in the end. That's why God in the last few weeks has been just telling me, you got to seek the mysteries, the deep things of God. This is wherein lies the truth, but we don't care. We want to write about having your best life now and rather than seeking the deep things of God. So, Steve, I'm going to give it back to you.
Well, thank you, David. I'm gonna close my part with again the poem of Randy Conway. The reason I do this is, number one, I believe he's an anointed man of God, but number two, he's got a insight into this stuff. And by the way, David, I'm going to try and find. I'm gonna go out and buy a she ass, just put it in one of my friends' farms, just to remind myself. That's a humility lesson, you know. Don't end up like Balaam. I'm not a prophet, but just, you know, couldn't
resist that. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
Yes. This one is called Time Has Expired, and Pastor Langford did a wonderful teaching on the difference between kairos and chronos, the two different words for the time, specific times and then general times. Time is short. In fact, it is expired, and we are living only moment by moment now. It should be of no surprise. The scriptures are clear, and the word has been shouted loud. The lies are uncovered on a daily basis, yet there are too many who choose to ignore the truth that's staring them in their faces, that evil has passed through our doors. Many question, what is evil and how did it enter in? The blind eye does not recognize, and the doorway is our sin. The sin of tolerance has given way to the enemy external plan. Any moment hell will be unleashed when God removes his hand. We have not sold but freely given our children to the system of education, but we first gave up the education system to the enemy through our cessation, removing ourselves any values that might have saved our children, and we wonder why, by lies, they have become imprisoned. We sit and absorb all the refuse that comes through the television set, believing the lies on the evening news, and then we sit and fret, wondering when the government will rescue us, and leaving our responsibility up to others. We have given up our government and want instead a mother. We will kill the babies in the womb and justify our actions, sacrificing to Moloch, who accepts our blood with passion. Child sacrifices uncovered everywhere, even the halls of leadership, and we think leaders are protecting the children because they want them microchipped. We are a world dependent upon drugs. We want every pain and emotion medicated. And in a blind stupor, we stumble, not seeing our freedoms have been eradicated. We accept the darkness because someone told us it was really light, and claim homosexuality is normal and not a perverted vice. We scoff at those who expose false flies, calling the words but theory, while people die because of what is an ancient, true, and real conspiracy. So we ignore the truth that would set us free, holding tightly to the comfort of the lies, and continue ever closer to the precipice of time, while God's patience we have tried. The economy is destroyed, but there are few who know the severity. They believe all is well, mistaking welfare for prosperity. Christianity is under attack, and the persecution has been implemented. We have been manipulated by the enemy and are positioned as he intended. We think food is plentiful and we will never suffer hunger. How many will die because disbelief has been their blunder? How many children will be forced to cry themselves to sleep because the covers are bare and they have nothing to eat? Do you believe that ritual abuse only exists on the movie screen? Do you refuse to hear the cries of the children as they scream? Do you believe that all wars are fought only for protection? Or do you know as soldiers die, it's for monetary collection? Blood moons and high holy days that seem to be aligned, asteroids and planets in the heavens as a sign, an alien agenda to hybridize mankind, and the evening news says watch the Oscars for everything is fine. How true. Archaeology is covered up and the truth it reveals is quickly swept away. Science is searching for immortality, so the elite may hold death at bay. Transhumans are sought the same as they were in Hitler's day. The lines of what is moral are now blurred and seen in shades of gray. Earthquakes are ravaging the ground beneath our feet. Volcanoes boiling magma is moving underneath. The weather is now manipulated by those with malevolent plans, and fools still think there's no force greater than a man. We're a people dumbed down, manipulated, and confused. Our economy is broken and operates only as a ruse. We are poisoned with our air, with our water, and with our food. Vaccinations are no longer medicine, but another poisonous brew. The sun is constantly erupting, spewing violently into space. What events are needed to awaken the human race? The Pope wants to baptize aliens, and the church thinks that's just fine. I tend to think that reveals the branch is separated from the vine. Nuclear war has become a constant, ever-increasing threat. I wonder when an EMP will be delivered by a hostile enemy jet. And I think the time is limited to keep an uncensored internet. Of the many signs that reveal our time is gone, I haven't scratched the surface yet. We've removed our guardrails of our society that kept us all protected. The warning signs we used to post have now been all rejected. And we and our children are now in danger of falling off this cliff, yet untold numbers still deny that we are on a precipice. We have all become the victims of our own failures, our failures to stand for truth while the taste of sin we savored. We have opened our doors to destruction and freely let it in, yet one stands at the door knocking, and we open not for him. The great and fearful day of the Lord is now at hand, and our time has all expired. You must choose not today, but this moment, to accept the truth or believe the liar. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end leads only to destruction. There is only one way to escape from the wrath ahead. Listen to God's instruction. I think he put a whole lot of Bible in that poem. And David, I think that at this point, I know at this point that I'm getting emails. What will you guys do when the internet goes down? Whatever God tells us to do. Well, how will you get your message out? He'll see that it gets out. And by the way, why don't you learn the same way that David Langford and I and others, we read our Bible, we pray, God shows us things because we have the hunger for truth, and as David shared with you tonight, the hunger to search out a mystery. This is the times, ladies and gentlemen. This is the end of time. It's not the end of the world, but this is a specific and a chosen and a specific time for God to reveal the mysteries that he has hidden until this time, but only those with eyes to see and ears to hear who hold their love of Jesus ever so near will be able to see beyond what's in the mirror. That was my little attempt at giving back to Randy what he's so generously given to me. Doug, I want to thank you. I want to thank you with all the people around the world who have joined with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we pray for you. Thank you for praying for us. And we believe that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, He's close is the word help and repent. You can't keep doing what you know you need to repent of, but ask God to give you the power, and he will do it. I believe the Lord has stated so many times he's going to do a quick work, and that means breaking people from breaking people free of demons, deception, delusion, destruction, and eternal death. That's why he's called the author and finisher of life. That's why Jesus is the resurrection. David, thank you for just coming on tonight. Thank you for sharing those wonderful revelations that God's given to you. And ladies and gentlemen, we pray for you that you'll be in the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time. You'll be invisible to all evil, and that you will learn by literally following the leading of the Holy Ghost what it means to enter in to that secret place of the Most High God that Psalm 91 talks about. Blessings,
thank
Doug.
You.
Thank you, thank David. You, God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Doug, for letting us be on tonight, brother.
Oh, God bless you both. Thank you so very much. Until next time, God bless.
Okay, brother. Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. My goodness, how blessed are we to have those two gentlemen joining us? You know, Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Isn't that the truth? Just want to say that we're so blessed to have each and every one of you as an extended member of our family of listeners. Thank you so much for your support, your prayers, your financial support, everything you do for us. We're all in this together. Remember that. You can be alone, but you're not alone. We're right there with you. And together we will push through. Tomorrow night, Rick Wiles, hour number one.